Thank you for joining us for our weekly service at East Elizabeth Baptist Church. We pray you and your family are blessed by the service. If you have any questions or if we can minister to you in any way, reach out to us at elbchurch.org.
Astounding to tell, forever existing in worlds above, now offered and given to all. O fountain of beauty eternal, the Father, the Spirit, the Son, sufficient and endlessly generous, magnificent, marvelous, matchless love. Brimming with thankfulness, the mountains exalt and they stand. The seasons rejoice in your faithfulness. All life is sustained by your hand. You crown every meadow with color. You paint every shade in the sky. Each day the dawn wakes as an encore. Magnificent, marvelous, matchless love. And how great, how sure your love endures forevermore. Magnificent, marvelous, matchless love. What grace that you entered our brokenness. You came in the fullness of time. How far we had fallen from righteousness, but not from the mercies of Christ. Your cross is our door to redemption. Your death is our fullness of life. That day how forgiveness flowed as a flood. Magnificent, marvelous, matchless love. And how great, how sure his love endures forevermore. Magnificent, marvelous, matchless love. To infinite heights, could anything sever or take us from magnificent, marvelous, matchless love? And how great, how sure his love endures. And marvelous, matchless love. How great, how sure his love endures forevermore. Magnificent, marvelous, matchless love.
Place here. I worship you. I
worship you. You are way maker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. Stop working, you never stop. You sing that again, sing even when, God. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you're the way maker. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Oh, you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. We believe it. Oh, that is who you are. And that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
Sing, you're the way maker.
You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are.
Free.
is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Father, we come to you right now. We are your children.
Sunday, and even though the Resurrection Sunday has passed, we still live in the reality of the resurrection this day, this Sunday, and every day of our lives. I want us to remind ourselves where we were in the book of Acts. We're going to make our way back to the book of Acts. We'll be in the final third of the book, and we'll go Sunday by Sunday, week by week, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, until we finish the book. Today, we find ourselves right at the end of Paul's second missionary journey, heading into Paul's third missionary journey. If you remember last time in Acts chapter 18, we left, Paul was there in Corinth, his last stop on his journey through the areas on that second missionary journey. He leaves there with Priscilla and Aquila, some fellow tent makers that he had met in his ministry that became important to his ministry, and they travel to Ephesus. Paul leaves them there, and they begin a ministry there. Paul stayed for a little while and reasoned with the Jews in the synagogue, and they asked him to stay longer, but it wasn't yet the right time. And so Paul sails to Caesarea, down the Mediterranean Sea, over close to Jerusalem, about a 500-mile journey. It tells us in the text, beginning in verse 22, look at the Word of God. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church. Probably what this means is he went south, which went up in elevation about 60 miles to the church there in Jerusalem. He greeted them. He greeted them. He went up to Jerusalem vertically and geographically. He went up in elevation. And then he went down to Antioch, but would have been north about a 300-mile journey to Antioch. And this is really the conclusion of the second missionary journey, because that's where he started and that's where he finishes up. He goes up to, down to Antioch, up to the church, and we believe in Jerusalem, and then down to Antioch, elevation-wise, and so where he started, and now he finishes. And the Bible tells us in verse 23, after spending some time there, he departed and went from one place to the next through the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. This, if you would remember, is the region that he had gone on the previous journey. Acts 16:6 tells us that he was going through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Remember, he was wanting to go up to Asia, north and away from where he was, but God had forbidden him, and God sent him over to Macedonia. But in the meantime, as he was making his way towards Macedonia, he had visited this region, and he's encouraging these churches. These would be the cities of Antioch of Pisidia and Iconium and Lystra and Derbe, even though Paul had faced incredible persecution in these places. Even one time left for dead, he goes back to encourage the believers that had grown in those areas. Making his way now on his third missionary journey. And Luke in the book of Acts, right at this moment, takes time to kind of break away from Paul and introduce us to another character, an introductory character to the work that Paul is going to have at Ephesus, and then another connection to Paul, the ministry that he'll have at Corinth in the time of his ministry. But in verse 24, we're introduced to a Jew named Apollos. He was a native of Alexandria, which was south and a little bit west of Jerusalem, as you would just kind of follow your way from Jerusalem down the Mediterranean Sea coast. You would come to the city that Apollos was from, but he came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man. He was competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus. It tells us in the text that this new character, this gentleman is by the name of Apollos, that he is from Alexandria, that he's well spoken. He's eloquent is the word, a good translation of the word. He can speak well. He's competent. He's studied in the scriptures. He's powerful in his speech and in his understanding. We see Apollos elsewhere in Scripture. He becomes a prominent leader at the church of Corinth. If you read the book of 1 Corinthians, you'll see Apollos mentioned several times in that letter. He becomes a trusted laborer alongside Paul. You'll see this in Titus chapter 3, verse 13. He'd been taught in the way of the Lord. He was fervent in his spirit. He was passionate about the work that he was doing. He believed in his message. He was fervent in spirit. He spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus. He had passion about what he taught. Passion should be present in our personal relationship with Jesus and how we follow Christ. To be a follower of Christ includes a level of passion and fervency in spirit. Paul put it this way in Romans 12, beginning in verse 9, when he described what it was to be a genuine follower of Christ, that we should have love that is genuine. Romans 12, verse 9. We should abhor what is evil. We should hold fast to what is good. We should love one another with brotherly affection. We should outdo one another in showing honor. We should not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit as we serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. But part of the characteristics that Paul mentioned is that we would be fervent in spirit, and the Bible, Luke describes Apollos as one that is fervent in spirit. Competent, eloquent. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately. What he was teaching accurately. But then we see a slight disclaimer about Apollos. There in verse 25, right at the end, it says, he knew only the baptism of John. Now, there's a lot of discussion about what is meant by this. I believe what is happening here is Apollos had seen the ministry of John. He'd experienced the baptism of John, which was a baptism of repentance, and with a coming promised Messiah and a fulfillment of the work of the Messiah, but not the baptism of Jesus. And I don't think Apollos yet knew the finished work of Christ on the cross. It was in a time of transition. You're talking about hundreds of miles away from Jerusalem, and the news had not carried there yet. And in what Apollos was teaching, he was passionate, he was accurate, he was genuine, but he had not yet got all of the story. There was no social media or Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. There wasn't 24-hour news channels. The news was traveling much slower than it would today, but the news was making its way now to Ephesus. Alexandria was teaching well. He was teaching accurately. He had just not yet heard all of the story. Remember, this was the initial expansion of the gospel. This wasn't a story that had been heard hundreds and hundreds of times like it has been in Vernon Parish by most of the folks that live here. It's a story that many were hearing for the very first time and not many had seen with their own eyes. But it's coming. Apollos is accurate, he's genuine, he's real, and he's passionate. But look at verse 26. It says, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. They didn't stand up and rebuke him in front of everybody. They really probably some way had him over for a meal and had him into their home, and they taught him and they instructed him. And they said, hey, listen, what you've seen and heard is true, but let us tell you the rest of the story. And Apollos began to understand and to hear and to submit to the finished work of Jesus. It gave him even greater boldness, greater power, greater authority. He was already passionate, but now he's going to be passionate, on fire, but with all of the gospel. Verse 27, after this, he wished to cross to Achaia. It seems that Apollos received this instruction very humbly. He was teachable. He wasn't arrogant. He wasn't unteachable. He wasn't unapproachable. He received this with gladness, and then he felt the burden to go and share the gospel in Achaia, which is part of, it's the region where Corinth is. That's probably where he ended up. We find him there in the next chapter, verse 1 of chapter 19. And he goes and he does a great work there. Look what it says. He wanted to cross to Achaia. The brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed. Verse 27. He didn't go just in his own authority. He went with the commissioning and the blessing of the local church there in Ephesus. The body of believers commended him to the body of believers in Corinth, and he had a great work there in Corinth. Listen, we don't need long rangers. We don't need people that want to start their own thing. God does the primary bulk of his work through his local church. I get calls, emails, Facebook messages from evangelists that want to come and preach. When are you going to have me come preach? When are you going to have me come preach? And the answer to that is interesting. I usually tell them when God tells me to. Not in an audible voice, but I can tell you the evangelist that God would not have me come preach, and that's the one that's not accountable to a local body of believers. A man that claims to have a ministry that's not accountable to a local body of believers can be incredibly dangerous to the kingdom, to the body. Apollos wasn't doing his own thing. He was teachable. He was accountable, and then he was sent, and he was commissioned. He was set apart to go and do ministry with the blessing of the brothers. There's power in that commissioning. There's strength in that unity. There's blessing in the fact that Jesus said, he didn't say he would build my ministry. He didn't say he would build somebody's reputation. Jesus said he would build his church, and we ought to passionately labor in that endeavor. Not for our prominence, but for his. Not for our praise, but for his praise. Apollos was teachable. He was commended. He was commissioned. He goes to Corinth. He has a fruitful ministry there. He greatly helped those that, look what it says, those who through grace had believed. Can I just tell you, that's how any of us are saved, is by grace, believing in the finished work of Christ. Look what he did, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. We see Apollos in the text. He's eloquent, he's well-trained, he's passionate. He's accurate in as much as he knows, and then as he hears the rest of the story, he receives, he's teachable, he's unified with the body of believers, he's commissioned, he's sent out, and God uses him in great and mighty ways, and he shows by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. You see, the Jews there in Corinth, they didn't need religion, they already had religion. They didn't need another set of things to do and guidelines to follow. They had the law, but they'd already added so much to it that they couldn't even recognize what was God's truth and what was their legalism. They didn't need religion. They needed a Savior. They needed Jesus. What is our takeaways from this short text today? It's a shorter text of scripture. It's going to be a shorter message, but what are the takeaways? First of all, I would urge us in this. Don't miss out on the power of the finished work of Christ. You see, it's sad that Apollos was bold and he was faithful and he was accurate in what he knew, but he had not yet received the whole story, had not yet received the finished work of Jesus. And that's sad, but what's sadder, even more sad than that, is one that has been all around the gospel, all around the truth of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, but is still stuck in their religion instead of a relationship with the living Son of God. That's where some of you are right now. As you watch this service, you know all the stories. You've heard the entire message, but you're still trying to live in your strength instead of the strength of the Holy Spirit that's promised by God through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're still trying to earn your way, but those that have been saved is by grace. Or you've just determined that it's not important enough to really trust Christ and obey Christ. And you just kind of do your own thing and wonder why you're in the mess that you're in when you've actually heard the glorious truth. It was sad that Apollos was so passionate and hadn't heard the whole story. But it's even sadder for those of us that have heard the whole story and yet still rebel against a loving, gracious God. Don't stay there. Don't have all the head knowledge of the gospel, but never come to a place in your heart that you believe in the finished work of Jesus. Bible Belt Christianity has a lot of head knowledge, but there's a lot of people that have never believed in their heart and trusted in Christ. Don't leave this world with the head knowledge and not have the heart assurance that you have trusted in Jesus. You've heard the whole story. Yes, God calls us to repentance. Yes, God calls us to obey and to flee from the things of this world and to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. But the story is this, that Jesus has paid the price that gives us forgiveness, that grants us forgiveness, that grants the pathway to a right relationship with God through Him. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's a recognition that it is done and trusting that Jesus has paid it all. Don't miss the most important part. Second takeaway I want you to see is always be teachable. Apollos had gained some sort of prominence. People were listening to when he spoke. They would gather and he had some audience. And sometimes when you've got an audience and somebody wants to teach you something that would help you grow further in your understanding and knowledge of Christ, sometimes we kind of buck up and we get prideful and we're not teachable. Listen, may we always be teachable. May I always be teachable, that God would continue to grow me and strengthen me and stretch me, and where He'd be able to use me for even His greater glory. Be teachable. And thirdly, I think we should see from this text that we ought to walk accountable to the body of Christ. Accountable to the body of Christ. I believe with all my heart, the first Sunday where everybody feels like it's safe and we're allowed and we gather in this place is going to be packed. I remember in my ministry, I had just started as the pastor of Center Grove Baptist Church in Ahoskie, North Carolina in March of 2001. And I remember that fall, that September, that Tuesday of 9/11, we were a small church, 30 or 40 people. A good Sunday was 50 or 60. On that Wednesday night after 9/11, we had over 100 people. For the very first time in my pastorate there was over 100 people. And the next Sunday, the place was packed. 4 or 5 weeks later, it kind of dwindled off. I think God's desiring to draw us to Him, not in religion, not in getting back to normality, but to walk more deeply with Him, united and accountable and together with the body of Christ, whether that be East Leesville Baptist Church or whatever church you would covenant with, to walk in this journey together. The church matters. Church membership matters. Church covenant, to be together and be accountable to one another, it matters. That's one reason why you won't see an online Lord's Supper. I just don't see how it helps us to hold one another accountable in that way. It'll be waiting for us when we come back together. I don't condemn those that have done that. That's their choice, but I want to save that for when we can be together with one another. Be accountable to your local church. Love one another. Encourage one another. Challenge one another. Teach one another. Comfort one another. All the one another's that you remember we spent time on in the series on the one another passages. How is that done? It's done primarily in the scripture through the local body of believers, the church. Apollos was traveling. He moved from Ephesus to Corinth. He'd come from Alexandria to Ephesus, but he was accountable to the body of believers. We should learn that lesson from him. It's really going to start getting interesting. I almost wanted to preach 19 through 20 as well today because I just love the stories there, and so I encourage you to read ahead. We're just going to work our way verse by verse, chapter by chapter, till we finish in chapter 28. But I pray that we would not miss the lessons and the example that is set to us by the man of God, Apollos, as he ministered in Ephesus and in Corinth, teachable, accountable to the body of Christ, but trusting in the complete story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Pray with me. Father, we pray in these days as we continue to walk through this book called Acts of the Apostles. Lord, in many ways should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit moved. Lord, I pray that you would teach us, that you would correct where there needs to be correction, that you would encourage where there needs to be encouragement, that you would challenge, that you would change, and that as we receive the teaching of your word, that we would be men and women, boys and girls that are better equipped to love God, love people, seek the lost, and make disciples. It's in Jesus' risen name we pray. Amen.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength, indeed, is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Thank you for joining us for our weekly service at East Sizzle Baptist Church. Again, if you have any questions about the message or a personal relationship with Jesus, feel free to reach out to us at elbchurch.org.